from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
I read American Politics again today.
Oh, come on, Ryan.
Well, you know, you dig around trying to read up on stuff on Prop 8, and you end up reading a lot of stupid shit.
All right, well, that's true. Speaking about that, you ready to do the show?
Yes.
All right, cool. Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net podcast. My name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Welcome to episode 102, everybody. I feel the numbers now that we're past 100, because it's almost like you start back at 1, right? Where I was always forgetting what fucking number are we at. Now it's easy again.
You need like a new like AD or BC type thing.
I don't know. A system should have been devised at the beginning to keep better track in my brain, but because I just lost it. But 102, I know this. I feel connected.
You feel like a big shot getting into those three digits.
You do feel like a bit of a big shot. You throw it around. You wag it around like a big dick. You're like, boom. It's got like three digits in this bitch.
I always knew I'd quote unquote made it as a podcaster when I surpassed the number of episodes of the person whose podcast inspired me to podcast. So, booyah, in your face.
You know, is that a bit like, oh, I only knew I made it when I beat Babe Ruth.
Oh, no, it's like, I only knew I made it when I destroyed my father.
Are we not all like that? It's so predictable. Okay, on today's show, we're going to talk about three topics that I hope to get into, but we might only cover two. We'll see how it goes. The first topic is Proposition 8. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Followed by a new little section we have that we were asking everybody for their favorite Bible quotes.
So we're going to go through those because some of them are hilarious.
They're hilarious. And finally, I want to talk about inspiration. That's a theme that we're going to be talking about later. We're going to include that at the end for any of you that are like, I don't like the weird direction Jacob takes me sometimes. It makes me feel like I've been touched in a bad place. So, you know, minute 25, you can stop being in the bad place because we're going to go there. So first up, let's talk about Prop 8 being overruled, kind of, sort of,
just because while it was overruled, overturned, it's still effectively in effect. They put a freeze on it so that nobody can get married. That was the bummer to me when everybody was like, woo, Prop 8 overturned, yeah, people can finally get married. No, they can't.
So, no, they cannot. And you're like, well, what is a victory exactly?
The victory is, yeah, it's like all of a sudden you start to realize this is more the first victory in what will have to be a very long, arduous. As if one trial didn't take long enough, we're going to have to go through, you know, how many appeals, and it's obviously going to go to the Supreme Court because nobody can accept any decisions that are made unless it's made by old people.
Old white dudes making all those choices and decisions. I was trying to read a lot about the trial before we started the show because I really wanted to know what the mindset behind how it started, how it played out.
Yeah.
But I was kind of sidetracked with that, and I went on to thinking about other things, and this is what I wanted to talk about briefly, is the fact that I was just reading the way that it's presented, the way that it's crafted, what everybody was saying. Like, let's take Schwarzenegger, right? When asked about this whole lawsuit coming up, Schwarzenegger takes a really, I'm not going to say conservative, but he takes on a political tone saying that it's a really important thing and that he wants to see it play out. Basically, this is what he says. Mm-hmm. And everybody else is also talking about, even the prosecutors that are talking about saying, like, we want to take this case and, you know, we this is important and a whole bunch of other important, even government institutions in California were sort of saying, we're going to put our support behind this going to trial, which is, you know, which is a big deal when people are like, hey, we're taking a stance also, stance on this, yeah, on something that people democratically voted as a constitutional amendment. You know, that's an important case when you kind of think about it, because they made it a constitutional amendment in the private constitution of the state constitution, excuse me, of California. It was an amendment.
Yep, they had a vote. and it was voted into the Constitution.
So the way that it works is that California became the first state to make an amendment in its Constitution to take away the rights of a person. That's what they managed to do. So all of a sudden, yeah, and this is what pisses me off, that everybody's just talking politically about it. You know, everybody's being very careful what they say. Oh, this is an important case, and it's not really about discrimination. Hey, wake up, everybody, huh? Let's start having an adult conversation about what the fuck is going on. Replace the word gay with blacks, okay? You have your answer. It's not a stretch when you're talking about civil fucking rights. But because you use the word gay, and because everybody's still okay with saying gay is gay, then it ain't no big deal for people to do it. When you put it out there and you're saying, well, we're trying to define the rights of marriage to be a civil institution where only men and women can have it in a heterosexual way. Why is everybody skipping over what this discussion is really about?
Because if you don't frame it in that way, it reveals itself for the bigoted piece of shit legislation that it is.
Exactly. And this is also what annoys me about people using complacent language to talk about this. I'm not saying everybody's got to be up at arm and say, hey, this is fucking bullshit, but yeah, there has to be more. Even the people involved seem to kind of all be nice and polite about it. Just because they don't want to throw it in everybody's face, but it has to be thrown in their face. The issue is becoming completely and utterly clouded in all this really, subtle speak.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the big things going into it was a lot of the gay rights people were very nervous about this going to court because they were saying, it might be a bit too early, and if we lose, it could set a really bad precedent that's really hard to get over. And I was thinking, you know what? If it had lost and it did set a bad precedent, it just would have pushed things further forward anyways. Because when people finally give a shit enough to stand up and do something about it, then gay equality will hopefully come through. I don't know if I'm willing, you know, on any other day of the week, I probably would have said, then, you know, when push comes to shove, we're going to stand up for the rights of gay people. But today I'm in a bad mood and I don't believe it.
I actually prefer that mood just so that we can be realistic about this one really important fact about human history, dude, is that look at the history of humanity and tell me if we've been passing the test. You know, if we do the right thing at the end of the day.
Well, at the end of the day, but I guess it all depends on what the end of the day is. If the end of the day is today, then no. But
no, but you know, everybody had their end of today.
At the end of a day, we might do the right thing. But there
let's
are many...
let's take the fall of every civilization known to man. Do we ever do the right thing?
I don't know what you're talking about. Give me an example. Did the Romans not do the right thing?
No, but yeah. Look, we're judging the entire
history.
Shot
the aqueducts.
Not just that. I mean, you're talking about at the end of the day, the good of people will prevail. No, at the end of the day, the tyranny of men will rule those who are under its spell. Okay, we don't do well generally at this whole, hey, let's be democratic. Let's listen to the voices of others. Let us be nonviolent. Yeah, no, we've not passed that test very often.
True.
So we shouldn't feel like all of a sudden some special privilege of saying these times are impossible. Nothing bad can ever happen. Brr.
Yeah, we're in the right place right now and nothing needs to change. In fact, let's just turn the clocks back to the 60s when everything was perfect.
So perfect.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. I think that there's always a generational push that happens. But I've mentioned this before, is that the generation that we have to overthrow, and not in a violent way, but just basically say, sit the fuck down, grandpa. You're done. Now I need to take over. Well, we keep these fuckers alive with these amazing drugs that have never been available to the old fogies that refuse to move forward.
Hmm.
It's like back in the old day, you just put them on an ice floe. See ya. See ya. All right, but let's go back to talking about Prop 8.
Okay.
That's enough of that tangent on old people. I'm such an ageist, which is funny because a significant portion of our fan base is probably over 50.
Mm.
And they probably hate my guts right now being like, you son
no,
of a
bitch. No, they'll agree with it. They'll be like, I know a bunch of crusty old people that need to be put on the ice floe politely, I suppose.
The smart old ones are always... Here's the problem with my ageism, if I can just go on that tangent.
Sure.
Is merely the fact that so few old older people when I was a kid that I meet that seem to display much wisdom. I just thought, are all the smart old people, do they all die of a heart attack because all the dumb old people have just driven them crazy and they're like, I don't want to just live with these people anymore. They're so dumb. Because I only ever interacted with the dumb ones. The stubborn, the horrible, the drive their nails in your head unpleasant old people. That's my memory of old people, man. That's what's all around me.
The old people who think it's okay to hit kids and they have no problem hitting you even though you're not their kid. That's the old person I used to run into when I was a kid.
And you can guess what an iconoclast like me, how they reacted to little old Jake saying what he wanted to say. Oh, boy. They fucking hated my guts. You know, this is the same contingent of people would be like, please stop swearing, Jacob. I'd have the same reaction. I defy authority. And they were the authority. They were generally unpleasant. Bastards. So yes, that's where my prejudice comes from.
Very nice.
And speaking of prejudice, back to Prop 8, which is what this is all about. I still can't believe that people are framing it any differently. We watched 8, A Mormon Proposition, even actually before this trial actually was completed. So a couple of weeks ago, right, when we watched this? And the first thing I thought when someone declared, hey, Prop 8's been defeated, was instantly, because I didn't really know it wasn't, but my first thought was saying, like, yes, I'm glad that all those people that tithe, that paid money to do the wrong thing, had their money flushed down the toilet. That's how I feel about it. That was my first feeling, because I said, at least their money was wasted. At least it didn't go in all their other bullshit efforts they have to try to spread their crappy faith. You know? At least you flushed it down the toilet. We'll flush it down like your ridiculous belief system one day. It'll just flush down the toilet like the detritus that sometimes gets caught in your toilet bowl from a real stainer. But eventually, you know, the water gets to it. It disappears.
And then who got the laugh last on that? The last laugh on that one. It passed. And that was quite shocking in itself. It pretty much ruined Obama getting elected for me. So
again, that negativity just coming out. You got to stop paying attention to American politics. You're not American.
No, I'm saying Prop 8. Why?
Just in general, you'll always have that negative spin of everything the political that happens. You're like, I was happy from Obama. Prop A was passed. Boo.
That's pretty much, you know, in politics, you can be happy about some tiny little accomplishment, and then the next day something will kick you in the teeth. So, yeah, that's how it goes.
The other reason why I don't follow politics like you do, I just can't, man. I don't want to do that to myself.
Well, one thing that people should probably follow, If you want to get a good, like, I can understand there was a lot of shit coming out of this trial. It was on and off for weeks and weeks and just a whole bunch of stuff coming out of it. If you just want the definitive guide of what went down, you can just read the judge's decision. It's like 128 pages, but you only got to read like the first 30. It's floating all over the internet. You can get it anywhere.
Yeah, it's concise in the first point enough that you can just gather what the general theme of it is.
Well, I mean, the really cool thing is that they break down both sides' arguments. And what really blew me away was how bad of a job the Proposition 8 people did of trying to prove their point, and how none of anything that they said was admissible or usable because the experts that they brought in were ruled to not be experts in the field that they were talking about. And even then, the stuff that the quote-unquote experts were said was included in the decision to kind of explain, this is why we didn't include anything they said and this is why they're wrong. And it was just unbelievable how every single idea that these Prop 8 people brought up was just knocked back. You read this thing, it reads like a rout. It was a complete, decisive, huge blow. And one of the interesting things about, you know how we're going to have tons and tons of appeals, right?
It's not going to stop. And well, if this thing's going to be frozen, stuck in courts, like, it's 2008, November 2008, when this thing got passed.
But
year are we?
You gotta understand, one of the good things about it is the way that the decision was written, apparently, is that it was point by point and it was by the book, so that all of the appeals people, when they look at it, will have as little ability to say there was anything wrong or undue or grounds for appeal. So obviously it's going to get opened up sooner or later, but the Prop 8 people did such a bad fucking job, and the plaintiffs did such a good job of showing that everything was based on stupid private moral beliefs that had no basis in factual reality, aka religion, that caused this to go through. It was just point by point. They just blew it all apart.
And you have to also consider the fact that the judge, Von R. Walker, he was reelected by George W. Bush. Okay, renominated, excuse me, by George W. Bush. Okay, this was a conservative judge here.
Well, I mean, he...
But he had to side with the better argument. Look, you could be a judge and have beliefs, but at the end of the day, the most important thing for you is the law.
But you are aware that the judge is also a homosexual. Were you aware of that?
That was the accusation, yeah.
Well, it is the reality.
So. Is it now? Is it confirmed?
Yeah. It's not like he hides it or anything.
I didn't know.
It's just that most people are too polite to point it out. But obviously, since we're this radio show, we don't care. And we'll just say, yeah, he was. A lot of people were saying that makes it improper for him to judge over the trial. And I'm like, what? Does that mean that homosexuals aren't allowed to have a say at all in this? No homosexuals on the jury? In other situations where...
Gays don't get to choose. They don't have the same rights as me.
Especially not when it has something to do with gays.
They'll vote it down. We can't have that.
It's like they won't allow their gay-centric, gay agenda that's being sent out through the gay hive mind not to corrupt their thought patterns.
Again, I mean, let's just put it in perspective. Pretend the judge was black. And he was voting on whether or not blacks were allowed to vote. You could go and say, I don't think it's appropriate that this black judge gets to vote on whether or not he gets to vote. I suppose that technically that's true, but more truthfully, that's ludicrous.
Well, I mean, back in the day, they probably wouldn't have had a black judge anyway.
Well, of course not. I'm talking about some weird, nebulous, paradoxical world live in, where it's happening with gay people.
Yeah, and just nobody sees it. It was quite amusing. The whole thing. The plaintiffs brought up this one guy. I just wanted to bring up Hak Shing William Tam. He was the guy who runs OneManOneWoman.com. He was brought up. See, the way that the plaintiffs built up their case was that they brought in a bunch of gay people to tell their story. Then they brought in this guy as like a hostile witness, as a representative, quote unquote, of the campaigners.
The
campaigners.
Oh, hostile witness. That is hot.
Yeah, and this guy ran OneWoman.com, and one of the fucking things that this is where remember that gays are 12 times more likely to molest children than straight people. Factoid.
What a factoid.
And the website also said stuff like overturning Prop 8 will cause the states to fall into Satan's clutches one by one. And yeah, they just showed him off to be like your standard bigoted racist. Is it still racism when you're anti-gay?
Well,
homophobic. The bigoted homophobic. Yeah, there we go.
That's the... Le mot juste.
I always loved the idea of racism being an umbrella word for all general types of hate towards a certain group.
I think that we're not discriminatory enough in our hate.
But yeah, they brought him up and they made him look like the retard he was. And it was very powerful. Very powerful indeed. Because half the guys, the Prop 8 people, were going to bring in as witnesses. They ended up not calling because in their depositions, they gave information that was favorable to the other side, saying that, you know, it actually turns out that homosexuals can raise children without raping them and molesting them. You know,
that whole unfortunate fact that they actually have fewer instances of troubled children. Like you were to say, actually, if you were to hold up gay people that adopt and regular parents, gay people, went only because the people who are gay parents, they're parents by 100% choice.
Mm-hmm.
All choice dummies. If you're like, oh, should we give kids over to people, men or women, that want children? I don't know if we should give them children that they want.
Yep.
We disagree with their innate sexuality. I'm sorry, what? You don't want to hand over that child because what, that other person has a different pigmentation? It's the same thing. I'm really sick and tired of people thinking, no, it's not. Yes, it is. Yes, it fucking is. Why don't you think it's the same? Oh, you have those same old tired arguments that every single time get destroyed. They're the kinds that if you bring that up at a party, everyone's really embarrassed at that party.
Well, this was the beautiful thing about it, because this is what really bugs me, because when you're reading the mainstream media's take on, and there hasn't actually been a whole lot of press on Prop 8. I was looking for, like, you know, the big article on Time.com and Newsweek.com for, and they just had like a little news snippet about it happening with no analysis or breakdown or anything else like that. But if you read through that summary again, it lays down, and the stuff that is being talked about, they just act like it's some activist judge that's fucking doing it, and he just ticked a box saying fuck it, you know, like as if there was no thought put into it. And you read that discourse on why, and he breaks down point by point, you know, the what you have to look for to see if it's constitutionally sound, whether or not there is any, you know, any proof to whether or not gay people marrying will be detrimental to the state, and whether or not there was anything beyond just personal morals as a reason for people voting against gay people getting married. And point by point, the anti-Prop 8 people destroyed it, gave evidence proving that there was nothing to any of these claims. Just completely destroyed.
Can I say this, though? You and I love courtroom drama shows and movies. How awesome would this have been to see? I feel like I was just kind of robbed.
It was our scopes.
Fucking seriously. I mean, can we have a Jimmy Stewart-like character in a movie about this, please?
I'm sure it'll happen. Depending on, please. Regardless of how it turns out at the Supreme Court level.
Somebody needs to make this fucking movie, all right? Because I would gladly pay for it. Unlike many other movies I dislike.
Because the one thing that worries me is there was an interesting study that came out that basically said that what the Supreme Court decides isn't always what should have been. You know, it's not like they look at it and they always make the right decisions. They typically make the decision that is quote unquote right for, you know, the society, the times that they are in. And this is again why all the gay people were kind of nervous about bringing it to court right now, because they're like, we don't think that society is ready.
We don't think the old white people have left enough,
or have died enough.
They're still alive. Live.
Too many 80-year-olds still in the Supreme Court.
An 80-year-old is making decisions for entire generations. I'm like, I would say this. Do you know what Facebook is?
It's a series of tubes.
You're fired. you're fucking fired.
Dude, you don't even want to know. I'd read another article a while ago where they were having, like it was a Supreme Court case, and they were trying to explain text messaging to these people, and they didn't understand what was going on. They had to talk. They brought up beepers and shit like that. They were asking, what happens if I send a text message while someone else is text messaging me? Is there a busy signal?
Ooh.
Yes.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of my mom when she asked me if I needed to rewind the DVD, you know, when the DVD first came out. I'm like, that's out of touch, man.
And she's relatively young.
And she is. And she uses computers. She loves computers. But my mom loves computers because computers have games. And my mom is a gamer, man. She's not a gamer like me. She's a gamer like
Farmville.
Solitaire.
Bejazzled or whatever it's called.
No. Crossword puzzles. Oh, okay. Sudokus. Scrabble. Like, my mom is a gamer in the classic. She will take a game and she will kick your fucking ass.
She'll boggle the shit out of you.
She will fucking boggle your mind. So yes, I mean, I suppose we can say that we's gamers. Mm-hmm. We's gamers.
Do we have any other like religious views, like bringing this back into the atheism thing? I always feel slightly compelled to tie that in, even though I think that it's a really important thing that we should be talking about, because I mean, to me, a large part of all this anti-gay sentiment comes directly from religion and from the influence of religion. So I always think that it's a completely, me personally as an atheist, it's one of my pet causes just because of that.
I think.
But is there anything more direct that maybe we want to bring up before moving on?
Well, I just think that throughout this whole thing, throughout the trial itself, I mean, the very places that were generating the income needed to pass this proposition, this wrong constitutional amendment, that's what it is. It's wrong. Mm-hmm. For it to go through, something had to generate such wrong. And that thing was religion. Clearly religion generated most of it.
Now, not even generally religion. I mean, a large amount of the the money, came from specifically from a religion, the Mormons.
The Mormons put, they were saying something like 70 or 80% of all the money, and there was like over $100 million.
Don't forget the Catholics also put it a lot into.
Yes, of course. The Catholics can't be left out of bigotry. They're like, hey, we're bigots too.
They're
but,
just stingier with their money. The Mormons put their money where their bigoted mouths are.
They put it. They make all kinds of.
They make all of their members give a whole lot of money. That was the most interesting thing about that the Mormon proposition was when they talked about how forceful these leaders, these church leaders, would be with their congregations, like basically harassing them.
More than harassing them. It was literally like, if you don't give us this money, you're going to be kicked out of the church. You know, they show up there with a checkbook and a pen with tithing records.
So they know how much you've made and they know how much you can afford.
Exactly, saying, we think you can afford this. Fill it in now. This is, the church has spoken. We have made this an issue. And then all of a sudden you're saying, hey, hold on a second, religion. Isn't it stated in your whole charter that you are not allowed to interfere with the political process, that you have to stay neutral or lose your tax exemption?
And it'll be really interesting to see if anything happens from that, because this is the clear-cut example of religion doing just that. And they fucking changed everything. I mean, that vote went through because of them. And thank God for checks and balances. I know they're a pain in the ass 99% of the time, but every so often, checks and balances, the court system, you know, will save your ass from stupid crap like this.
I would say here's the basic problem that you have with this. And this is what annoys me again about religion, is that the right thing to do would be to say either your ability to not be tax exempt is suspended or it is removed. And if you do that, then every single Mormon's going to go, why are you attacking my religion? You don't have the opportunity to slap them in the face when they do wrong. Because as soon as you do, everyone cries. They're like, you're hurting my religion. Stay out of my religion. Stay out of my life. Fuck face.
And bedroom. And marriage hall. I don't know.
Stay
marriage
out of
lodge.
If you want me to stay out of your shit, stay out of mine. But it's never like that. And as soon as I try to slap you on the hand, you hit me with a hammer. The hammer of fucking religion comes down on you. So we can't do anything about it. We don't even live in a time where such a thing you can even contemplate as happening.
Yeah, one of the biggest arguments that they had were they didn't want gay people to marry is because then teachers could be forced to teach kids that gayness is okay. And I'm like, what the fuck is up with that statement? Just in general, just on its face value, you really get an idea for what, you know, oh, you're going to control how we fucking feed these ideas to the next generation.
Yeah, they had a problem with that before when it came to black people, okay? The Mormon Church, up until the 1970s, you could not be black and be a Mormon, okay? Now it's just, oh, well, we've repealed that racism. Yes. Oh, by the way, you can't be a Mormon if you're gay. So,
but that's okay, because gay is just a state of mind, and if you go into therapy, you can cure it. Woo!
Michael Jackson cured his blackness. It was expensive, but there is a cure. Is the church going to offer that one? Because, you know, it's right up your alley. Just step back less than one generation. And this is the thing, that maybe we have the collective amnesia where we're like, oh, the Mormon church is not racist or homophobic or any of that stuff. Hello? 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 Were you even around when that shit was going on? No, you probably weren't. So it's not like you have amnesia. It's your society that has amnesia. It sees only through the lens of a couple decades. And that's myopic.
Well, I mean, to a certain degree, there just wasn't the kind of, you know, FaceTime on camera, and there wasn't the paper trail or the very visible trail that there is now. I mean, this is where I really think that, you know, as an atheist, and I look at the battle between atheism and religiosity, I think that, you know, the next generation is going to be less religious on a large account because of a lot of the hate-based shit that religions do. And in this way, the fact that they are extremely homophobic is quote-unquote good for atheism.
I just feel that to some degree that what will happen is just more fundamentalism as a result. Like when you become afraid that your ideology cannot be questioned, then you try to enforce it. You know, like you put pressure on others. There's a guy who lives in Portland. I believe his name is Derek. He communicated with me not a little while ago. He was a Jehovah Witness. And he just, after a long struggle and thinking about it, he's like, I'm an atheist. And he basically gets shunned. His wife won't talk to him. His family won't talk to him. So and he was telling me, he's saying, like, I feel really lonely. My whole support network is gone. And he's talking to me. He's asking me for advice. What should I do? I get to talk to people that have had a rough time, okay, with the cultish element of certain religions that are more fundamentalist than others. Jehovah's Witnesses are very fundamentalist, okay? They have weird beliefs, and if you don't accept those weird beliefs, there are consequences to those things. They fear their religion being questioned. And any ideology that fears being questioned, what is the one thing they do to preserve themselves? They use force. They use fear. You know, these are the tools. We don't use these tools. I don't care.
Yeah, that's one of those arguments that going back to reading Ayaan Hirsi Ali's Infidel, when people talk about, oh, you know, these women have a choice as to whether or not they're going to wear a burqa or not. And I say, you obviously don't understand the social influence that their entire society has on them. If they take that burqa off, the kind of treatment they're going to receive from everybody.
Well, here's what I would say. I would say that if you think that choice is equally distributed amongst all cultures, you're a fucking moron. All right? I'm not going to sugarcoat it. A woman who lives in a country or around a society and has family that are themselves heavily religious, who chooses to not wear a burqa, now has a lot fewer choices than a person who was never put in that position in the first fucking place. All right? And that's even in our own country. Now imagine other places. How many choices do women have in some of these countries? You know, many of these Islamic countries, they don't have a lot of choice. Like, they didn't have a lot of choice when religion reigned supreme around here, where it was like, woman, you shall not speak. Shut your fucking mouth. Like, you wonder why universal suffrage was necessary. You think that there was some other cultural bias that said, woman, shut the fuck up? Clearly, there's justification for it in the Bible. They love that shit. Shut up, woman. You are property. This is how I viewed you for a long time. You are my property.
Do you want to get into some Bible quotes? It seems like a good opportunity because I seem to remember there being some hilarious ones about
about women,
about
yeah.
a woman's
about
place.
Women. Yeah, yeah. Written by conservative men who definitely believed that women were inferior.
As I always said, the Bible says God created the universe. Women aren't trustworthy.
Don't trust women. Okay, well, we're going to go to that section right after our little advert.
Who is that immaculately dressed man in the Good Atheist t-shirt?
That man/woman is a fashionable person wearing the latest gear coming straight from thegoodatheist.net, baby.
How can I get my hands on one of these shirts?
On just one, don't be a fool, man. Get three, even though there's only one design. Jesus saves, you need to get it.
Buy this or burn in hell.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We're now at our new segment.
Well, thank you for including me in this.
Well, it's just because I thought of it. You didn't think of this. So it was my idea, but I'm sharing it with you.
Wow.
The credit. I'm so nice.
So what are you sharing?
The idea, I put this up on the site. It was submit your favorite Bible passages. So every once in a while we'll do this. Not every show, but like this show doesn't have Ask God. These are all random things that we're trying. So we'll see how everybody likes this part. And
listener
then if
participation.
Like
it's the future.
It is the fucking future, man. 2.0! All right, so what we have is people submitted their favorite Bible quotes, and we're going to read them, and we're going to make fun of them.
Laugh at them.
All right, I'm going to start first. I'm going to tell you what my favorite one is, and that one's from Matt, who chose Genesis chapter 19. Now, just to put a little context, this is the chapter where these two angels visit Sodom and Gomorrah and are invited to Lot's house, and a mob forms outside their house ready to rape the men, and Lot comes out with his two daughters, and here's the quote. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof.
So do we interpret that as my guests, my male guests are more important than my daughters.
Yes, my daughters who have not slept with anyone, you can rape them, but leave these gentlemen alone.
But you know what? That does show that he is a great man, that he would be willing to, because these are virgins. These aren't even wrecked yet or useless or like
castaway
trash.
I love how in the way that it's written and the way that it's supposed to be interpreted at the time, saying, what a righteous man. He let his own daughters be raped. Rather than these two
holy angels.
And you know what? Here's the funny thing, though. And this is just my little two cents to that whole story, is that at the end of that story, not only does Lot's nameless wife, she's nameless, yeah, she's never mentioned by name.
Not even in any of the Heredities?
Nope. She's not mentioned by name. She turns around, turns into a pillar of salt, loses his wife.
And his daughters, too, eh?
Well, no, his daughters survive.
Oh, so
they rape him in a cave and have his children.
The defiled ones.
No, they weren't defiled.
It never happens,
does it? Never happens.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they had sex with the father who was willing to sell them to rape.
Sounds like a fucked up family.
It's not a good story.
It's like, hey, Dad, where'd Mom go? Don't ask questions.
Now let's get to drinking and repopulating.
Okay, I got a good one from J.N. Hudson. I got some good violent ones I wanted to share.
Here we go.
Psalms 137:9. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones.
Did you say happy?
Happy shall you be.
You're going to feel great. When you take those babies and you crash them against the rock, they're going to explode like watermelons, and it's going to be the coolest.
Yeah, here's another violent one. Tyson says, this is from Matthew 34:37. Think not that I come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but the sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and his daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Not that hard.
He's being very specific.
And a foe, man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That's God saying, it's a fucking war to love me the most. Kill all who do not live up to the standard.
If you even start thinking about loving them more than me,
time to kill them.
I'm going to fucking send you to hell, bitch. Going to send you to hell. Okay, here's mine from Ramon. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 11 to 12.
Ooh, Deuteronomy. You know this one's going to be good.
I just like this one. Like, I picked the women one because we were just in the last topic. We were saying how the Bible hates women. So here's this one. When men fight with one another, and the wife of one draws near to rescue her husband from the hand of him who is beating him, and puts out her hand and seizes him by the private parts, then you shall cut off her hand. Your eye shall have no pity. So if she basically grabs the other guy's dick trying to save you from getting a beat down, they got to cut her hand off.
You know, I kind of interpret this as the ancient day girls aren't allowed to kick guys in the ball law. can't touch them nuts.
Can't touch this. Do-do-do-do. Exactly. Don't touch his balls. Don't touch his nuts or your hand will be cut off, bitch.
I like that one. I see yours and I raise you with Timothy 2:9-15. Which Dungheap the Ugly shared with, which is, this is the good one. This is, I also want women to dress modestly with decency and propriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or I'm doing bad at reading this.
You are bad.
Or expensive clothing, but with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God. Okay, dress reasonably. That's okay, I guess, if you're into that kind of thing. Then, a woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She must be silent. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. But women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with propriety.
Wow. So here's the thing I just want to put out there before we continue on with the show with this segment, where I had mentioned just before, why is it that the Bible hates women? And the clear sense of otherness that you always feel, like, just read into the justification of that passage, right? They're trying to justify why you should treat women so poorly using their own logic. They say, well, listen, women, like, a woman sinned, Adam came first, so me first, right? When you have the whole battle of the sexes and you decide me first, and you just say, it's in this book that says that you came from my rib. You are my property. This is all clear here. This is all lie. This is all there. I have the proof.
Well, think about it. It all comes from who gets the power, and do you think it's surprising that a woman's proper place is doing all the shit that the one in power doesn't want to do? What a shock.
It is a shocker. All right, let me give you Rogers, which is probably my favorite one of all of them, is Proverbs chapter 12, verse 19. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. So go live in the woods when your baby's on the rag. I think this is that's pretty much the gist.
Well, you know, I won't disagree 100% with that. A contentious woman is a difficult chore.
It is better to live in the wilderness. Go out in the wilderness, guys. Okay. I wonder if you can get away with that now, you know? Your girlfriend's on the period, and you're just, I'm going to go for a fucking fishing trip. See you later. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's see if she fucking accepts that one.
Okay, this is one that I like, because it's a bit of a change of pace for the woman stuff. Michael sent me this one. It's Ezekiel 23:19. Yet she increased her whorings, remembering the days of her youth, when she played the whore in the lands of Egypt, and lusted after her paramours there, whose members were like those of donkeys, and whose emission was like that of stallions.
So Egyptians with big cocks with massive...
They just jizz all over them. Like
fucking jizz masters.
Just mighty jizz.
They look. Egyptians. They make Peter North look like a hobo.
Do you think that was like a funny thing back in the day? It was like, well, those Egyptians.
No, that's some... You know what that is? That is a serious kind of anxiety about their own members. Clearly written just through Bible verse, because it's not the only one that talks about huge penises out there. And the boys of Israel being of those that had of the giant members.
I'd love to see a graph of penis size as declared by the Bible, as the word of God, how big every, you know, different ethnicities and groups penises are.
Right.
I think that would be interesting.
Perhaps for you, and perhaps for about 10% of our listening audience.
I'm just trying to imagine, like, if you were going to do a graph, donkey, and how would you represent stallion cum? Anyway, moving on.
Please. Can we move on? What's the next one?
Hey, I wasn't saying it's the Bible. It's the Bible.
It's disgusting.
Are you out? You have no more?
I'm out.
Okay, I got another one from Dungheap the Ugly. Ezekiel 4:12. Eat the food as you would a barley cake. Bake it in the sight of other people using human excrement for fuel. This is how you were supposed to, like, the rules for making bread.
Wait, you're Make supposed it with to poop. Use human shit.
Yes.
For bread? All right, let me tell you something. I ain't eating any of their bread. So let me see. What's the secret ingredient there? You cooked it with your own poo? Yeah, let me think about that.
Yeah. It's probably why they all died at the age of 24.
It had your special aroma, I bet. You must have loved it.
Hint of nut.
It was a little nutty, wasn't it? Tasted a bit like dust.
Yeah. So there we go. That's my quotes.
Those were all our favorite ones. We're gonna bring it up.
I know. Truth be told,
we couldn't do all of them. We actually literally had a huge bunch.
This is the whole thing about these things, is that it's so hard not doing all of them because they're all amazing. I just wanted to put that out there. I always feel bad when we get like fucking 30 and we can only do 15. It's like, damn it,
you guys gave too much. But I suppose that's the incentive to say, well, just try to make it really good, because we can only cover so much, and it's getting bigger.
It's true.
And we seriously cannot do this segment for a fucking hour.
Although sometime we should. I had fun. That was good.
Yeah,
times.
It was a good time. Well, tell
a
us what you...
good time was had by all.
Listen, guys, tell us what you think about this segment. We'll include more often if you like it. And we can include other passages
ideas.
from Book of Mormon or from the Quran, whatever we want. This segment can grow, but it's up to you. You guys choose. I want to do a lot more of interacting with you guys, getting your feedback. Everybody loved the Ask God thing, so we're going to make it part of a permanent part of the shows. A regular feature, but we're still at a stage right now where we're experimenting a lot. We're going to be experimenting with how we distribute bonus shows, and there are changes abound. I told you guys before that there were going to be some changes, but it's all going to be for the best. It's going to be good changes. You feel good about this one.
No more changes and you're like, aw.
Exactly.
More changes like, yay.
Exactly. All kinds of yay. Now, unfortunately, I must say a nay, because we don't have time to get into my discussion on
inspiration.
Inspiration. We couldn't get to it.
Nay.
It is a nay, but we will include it in the bonus show. And I'm also going to be talking.
Can you just explain it? Because here's the whole thing. I have no idea what you're talking about when you say you want to talk about inspiration. So can you at least just
give
a tantalizing thing?
Okay. Basically, one of the things that I wanted to talk about is just my general experience with podcasting as it stands now. Some of the most powerful experiences that you have when you really put yourself out there, when you communicate with other people and people communicate with you, is that once in a while you encounter people that tell you some amazing things. Like they say that we have a fan of the show, Jake Farr Wharton, and he started his own podcast called the Imaginary Friend Podcast. And he kept on messaging me saying, get your head out of your ass, stop apologizing for the show, it's great, and you really inspired me to do my show, which I'll put a link to it so other people can listen to it. But you know, I took that for granted. I took something like that for granted, and I don't really think I fully understood it until I started thinking about what inspiration means in general. And that's the conversation I want to have next podcast.
Until you got that head out of your ass.
So I got my head out of my ass.
Very nice. I look forward to hearing that then.
Right. And we'll also be talking, again, another topic that was brought up by a fan who wanted me to discuss about whether or not agnosticism was the stronger position compared to atheism. So I'm going to share my thoughts about that. And I'll just put a deal out. For right now, I'm feeling kind of like super generous. If you really find these two topics are so fascinating that you want to listen to it and you feel cheated because I mentioned at the beginning of the show, email me and I'll send you the show for free. I'll send you that bonus show for free if you want it that bad.
Yeah, just you find that.
Just ask for it. You would be amazed.
You'll find that we are pushovers to the extreme. The locking away of things is really just a formality for some kind of semi-sane financial mechanism for the business.
That mechanism is being worked on. There's just so much about how I want to distribute content, how I want to free it even to some degree, that these are things that we have to do slowly because we still have a model that kind of works. It's hard for us to constantly throw it and say, fuck it, even entirely new one. We're just going to start going and distribute even the bonus ones for free, anticipating that people will pay us. I'm on that verge, you know, but
not quite
one
yet.
Step at a time.
Not quite yet.
One step at a time. My radical ideas about copyright and all these other kind of things, they need to simmer down. One step at a time. So we will offer that if you email me, jacob14@gmail.com, say, put in the subject header, I want my bonus show because you promised me a talk on inspiration and that sounds like a topic I want to hear. I'm sure that those three people will get the show for free.
Nice.
Okay, well, you know, we'll wrap it up. We would like to thank everybody who is a contributing member. I guess we're at show number over 60 for the bonus show. It keeps on growing, and if you love us so much that you need to listen to us twice a week for some reason, then consider being a patron and we'll give you membership. You'll have membership for a whole year of bonus shows that will hopefully not become totally free.
$20
a year. That's how much we ask for. And we've also instituted a barter system. For those of you out there, I've talked with a lot of you guys who are like, oh, I wish I could give you my money, but literally I'm about to lose my job. And I'm like, holy shit, dude, pay your bills first. You know, maybe there's another arrangement that we can have. Hey, I'm interested in barter. Why the fuck not? What? Who says it's only got to be money? Maybe somebody wants to send me PS3 games or Xbox 360 games. I'm a gamer. I said that at the beginning of the podcast. Fuck, I'll trade with your used games. Just message me. I'm like, you want bonus shows? Well, fuck, you don't have any money, dog. What else you got?
I am also willing to give people subscriptions in exchange for pictures of breasts. Original pictures of breasts.
Are we going to get in trouble now?
Female.
Are there, like, legalities? Pictures. How do you stand about the privacy issues here?
Over 18, obviously. There we go. Legal clause.
All right. So Ryan wants boobies, I want games. We're your typical dudes.
Yeah.
Typical dudes. All right. With that, my name is Jacob Forte.
I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good atheist day, everybody.